רבי צבי בלבסקי, בשם ישמואל על חנוכה.
Good morning, and Freyach and Hanukkah. I was wondering when I looked at the program why I might have been selected to speak in such an august rabbinical company. And so I decided that I'm presumably am the warm-up act for Reb Chaim. And so I hope that you'll take my remarks in that vein. I'd like to look at a well-known Ramban in Parshas Baloisachov. Rashi explores the juxtaposition between the Parsha of the Nesiim and the Parsha of the Menorah, one at the end of Parshas Nosoi, the other at the beginning of Parshas Baloisachov. And Rashi, based on Chazal, quotes as follows. Kishiro Aaron Chanukah Hanasiyim, when Aaron saw the dedication ceremony, all the korbanos of the Nesiim, Chol Shadatoi, he became depressed. Shlo Hoyo Imoim, he was not among them. This is referring back to the Mishkan. Lo Yehu Lo Shivtoi, neither he nor his tribe. By your life, what you have will be greater than theirs. Because you will light and prepare the lights, morning and evening. That's and Rashi quoting a Medrash. So the Ramban asks one of his most famous questions. He's very troubled by the simple reading of Rashi's understanding of the juxtaposition of the smichos of parashas. Lo nisparoli, it's not clear to me. Why was Aaron HaKohen, I'm not going to read every word, why was Aaron HaKohen satisfied? Why was he satisfied, or as he puts it, why was he cooled off? His concern was cooled by the promise of the Hadlokas HaNeris. It seems to me, certainly a basic reading of the text, is that he's going to be given the opportunity that Kohanim will light the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, and now he should be happy. But Aaron has many other gifts. He has many other avoiders that are unique to him. There's the Ketores. There's the Korbonos. Aaron HaKohen himself has the Minchas Chavitin. That's the special mincha brought by the Kohen Gadol. Yom Kippur, when he is the star of the show, and only he can perform the avodah. She'ena kishera el avoy, the Ramban says, it can only be done by him. He enters the Kodesh Kedoshim. He and his tribe stand all the time before HaKodesh Baruch Hu in the Heichol, later in the Beis HaMikdosh. As he puts it, B'shiv t'kul in the Sharsi Elokeinu, his entire tribe are servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what's his problem? And why does picking out one detail of the Avodah satisfy? Why does it satisfy Aaron? And anyway, what was his problem in the first place? Even through the whole process of the Miluim, the Chanukah HaMizbeach, Aaron is also center stage. Aaron is also, whatever korbanos are brought, he's doing them. He's the operative. He's working the whole time. It's very hard to understand what his problem was and what the solution is. He says that the Hadlokas HaNeiros, lighting the menorah, seems just to fit in with all the rest of everything else. So very famously he quotes, and he later brings it from a particular edition of the Tanchuma and also from a sefer called Megillas Storim of Rabbeinu Nissim, that this is in fact not a reference to the menorah in the Beis HaMikdosh, but to the Chanukah that we are celebrating this week. As he put it, about Inyan Agada Zoi, what this Agadata, this Medrash that Rashi quotes, what it really means is Remez min ha-parasha al-Chanukah shel Neir shehoyseh b'bay sheni al yidei Aaron uvono, that the Chanukah that we have celebrating the rededication of the Beis HaMikdosh in this era of the second Beis HaMikdosh, which came about through the endeavors of the Kohanim, the Chashmonoim, who were Kohanim. So you know about whom I mean. Chashmonai Kohen Gadol Avono. The Chashmonaim Kohen Gadol and his children. And he goes on, as I say, to say that this is really the gift that is promised. But I suppose a key underlying problem is the fact that everything in the Beit HaMikdash seems to disappear. If you're satisfied what you're going to have, it will last for ages. He quotes a variant in which what you're going to have will be enduring. But of course, lighting the menorah in the Beit HaMikdash is no more enduring than any other aspect of the avodah in the Beit HaMikdash. When the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, there is no hadlokas haneiros, there's no menorah there anyway. And so based on these ideas, the Ramban understands that to be the appropriate pshat in the Medrash. It's a hint. And of course, that's borne out very much by our own reading on Zos Chanukah. On Monday, Mitzvah Hashem, we will read through right to the end of the Parsha of Nesiim, the Sikkum, the summary at the end of all of the offerings, and we will go straight through into the next section dealing with the menorah to complete the reading. He also says that helps them to understand why the Birkas Kohanim is in Parshas Noso as well. It's all part of the same kind of section of Torah. V'chein Birkas Kohanim asmuch l'chanukas hanesim, noges l'olam, it's also something which lasts forever. But even when there's no Beis HaMikdash, we also have the Duchanim that still exists. And Aaron therefore is satisfied with something which will outlive all of the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, whether it's lighting the menorah, of which we have some vestige in the post-temple era, or the duchening which still exists beyond the Beis HaMikdash as well. That work is well known, and I'm sure this is just to refresh your memory of something which is familiar. Now, I want to look at this Ramban through a concept that appears in the Shem Shmuel in the name of the Avnei Nezer's father. Avnei Nezer is known to us as perhaps the greatest poysik in Poland at the end of the 19th century, but actually one begins to look at the Shem Shmuel and later published Kisei Yod, he was clearly a very great thinker in Hashkofa and Kabbalah as well. So he begins by quoting the relevant parts of the Ramban. This is an essay in the Shem Shmuel, Parshas Baal Osechah, Tof Resh Ayin, which is 1910, so it's written 98 years ago. And he quotes from his father. He's very troubled by why exactly Aaron is satisfied. What is Aaron's question? And he identifies immediately an aspect, if you like, a conflict within Aaron's identity, which leads to the question and explains the answer. Here he quotes only a couple of lines from his father, so I'll give it to him full. Avodas halavim milamato lemalo, va'avodas hakohanim milamalo lemato. That the avoda of the Levim, crudely translated, goes from down to up, whereas the avoda of the Kohanim goes from up to down. Umachmat zeh, I'll explain. This is why the avodah of the Kohanim is b'chashai, means in a private place. It's on the quiet. It's very, if you like, in a modern terminology, very heavily contextualized. But the avodah is a big song and dance about it, the avodah of the Levian. What he seems to be saying is that the role of the Kohen is to connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu to this world. He stands in the Beis HaMikdash. He brings the fire down on the Mizbeach. He connects the world from up to down. He brings, as it were, the spiritual Olamos down to this world. Whether he raises his hands to Duchan, whether in his Avodah, his job is what the Avnei Nezer calls Milmala Lamato, bring something up there down to here. The job of the lady is the opposite. The job of the lady is to elevate people. He stands on the duchen, he sings, they sing, they inspire people, and their job is to raise people from this world to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His job is milmato lemalo, from down to up. That's already quite an interesting distinction, which is not so far familiar. That's the distinction. And he explains this in more detail. Shemesh Shmuel elaborates and says pretty much what I just said. He says, once you understand that, if we get a chance, we'll go back to this idea of Chashai and so on. But it's not central. Aaron HaKohen has, if you like, dual loyalties. He has a double identity. And the Shemesh Shmuel suggests you can only really understand the question that the Medrash puts into his mouth in the light of this conflict that exists within him. Because Aaron HaKohen is not just the Kohen Gadol, as it were, the leading light of the Kohanim. He is also the Nossi of Shevet Levi, which means he has two aspects to his identity, two roles that he's trying to live out. And those roles, most of the time, can coexist quite happily. But it could be that sometimes they are in conflict with each other. So he says, you have to imagine that he has two hats. And with which hat is he asking this question? His disappointment at the lack of engagement of his Shevet with the other Shvatim. The answer appears to be in his role not as Kohen Gadol, but as the Nossi of Shevet Levi. The way Shemesh Shmuel put it as well is as follows. The Zohar Sotanosa Shel Aaron, this was his concern. Shuhaya Nossi Shel Shevet Levi. Because in his guise as a tribal leader of the Levian, he needs something for his Shevet, of course, as the Kohen Gadol. He has a Beis HaMikdash, he has Yom Kippur, he has the Ketores, he has the Korbonos, all the things that the Rambam identified. Of course he has all those, but he's not asking the question in his role as Kohen Gadol. He's saying, and where's Shevet Levi in this story? I am the Nossi of Shevet Levi. And now he gives a beautiful explanation. The Rashi on the word Baha'al Oysachov is very well known, often studied. Rashi brings two deus. Baal Oysachor, the first deus, first normal understanding of Baal Oysachor means in the process of your causing the light to come up, which Rashi understands to mean that you have to wait until the flame rises on its own to have fulfilled the requirement of the Torah. I suppose it's really much like lighting any candle. You take a match or a taper, you hold it next to the wick, and when you see the flame rise, then you know that the flame will burn independently of the match, and you can move the match away and you've done the job. He understands that there is something very interesting behind this. The Loshon is well known. That the flame rises on its own. Shemesh Shmuel says, you see, there's something very interesting about the avodah of the menorah. The menorah there's a requirement that the activity goes in an upward direction. This is unlike the other avoiders of the Kohen. This, if you like, is a Levitical aspect. It's not a great word, but it's Bechinus Levi within the avoider of the Kohenim. There's an element of the avoider of the Kohenim which has an aspect, a Bechinus of the Levian. There's an element that we are taken up, we're inspired, whatever it means. There are many beautiful pshatim and the significance of this. I strongly recommend the reading of Dorash Moshe, Moshe Feinstein, in his Kedush on the Torah, about how he brings the two pshatim, and the other pshat is that he has to step up on the steps to be able to read Bahaloisachlad when in your going up to light the lamp, how the two are brought together. There are many other explanations as well. But here he identifies what's interesting, the Kuda. What is the question of Aaron? Where is the job of the Levian? In my job as the Kohen Gadol, I see nothing of my own trouble. I have failed to represent, to fight my corner as the tribal leader of the Levian. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu says to him, so here you go. You'll light the menorah. You'll light the menorah. This way, you can read it as the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash or the Chanukah menorah. Because you're going to see some activity in your own avodah in which you will be a Levi. So that itself, I think, is a very revolutionary and a meaningful explanation. Now, there's another aspect to this as well, which is, it's not a coincidence that the only part of the Avodah that we have from the Beis HaMikdash in the non-Beis HaMikdash world is a menorah. Of course, it's not the same menorah, and there are many differences between the process of lighting a Hanukkah menorah, the purpose of it, etc., etc., in comparison with the original menorah in the Mishkan and then the Beis HaMikdash. But nonetheless, Chazal saw it fit to institute some kind of avodah of our own, which resembles the avodah. We don't have a shulchan, there's no oron, there's no ketores, there's no mizrach. Chazal never saw it fit at any time, the Nevi'im, Chazal never saw it fit at any time to give us something of these sorts. We have hints, but there's nothing at all equivalent to the menorah. And of course, this can be understood in the light of what we've just said as well. Why the menorah? So we'll remember that the Avnei Nezer also suggested that the one of the distinctions between the Avodah, the Kohanim, and the Levium is the Kohanim is b'chashai. Now he's going to explain this chashai in more detail. And Levium is b'kol, it's all about, it's all loud and it's kind of open and so on. And he explains, and this is something which I don't think I can fully interpret, because it talks about shlitas hachitzonim, about the power of spiritually negative forces. He said, and that's why I use the phrase heavily contextualized, that something which is trying to draw down kedusha, tara, from the olamos elyonim, from the spiritual realm, demands an extremely great degree of contextualization, meaning you can't just invoke tremendously powerful spiritual influences and put them somewhere inappropriate. That will be misused, misunderstood, destroyed, used against us. The more powerful the spiritual influence, the more that can be achieved with it, the more damage that can be achieved with it if it's misused, and therefore the greater and more specific and more carefully worked must the context in which it comes be. That is why there are certain things, he explains, which are part of the world of the Beis HaMikdash. They are spiritual, if you like, receivers for flow, but they can only exist within their context, otherwise they're destroyed. And everything to do with the Kohanim are like that. The way he puts it is the Beis HaMikdash and its avodah and its concepts cannot exist in the world of Golas. They are for a redeemed world, because Golas is the wrong receptacle. If we were given that sort of powerful spirituality, we'd end up risking misusing it and destroying ourselves as a result. The Avodah of the Levim, in contrast, is very much shouting out loud. It's completely different. The Kohanim have to wear special garments. They're exceedingly closely regulated. Everything, every moment, every thought is totally regulated by the Dinim. The Levim, they can come in their own clothes. They sing, they inspire, and so on. So that can function in the world of Golas in a way that the Avodah of the Kohanim cannot. And as such, it is something which has a place in the world of Golas. Hence the menorah, we've already discussed, the menorah has an aspect, a Levitical aspect, I haven't quite got the right phrases, the Sinus Levian, some aspect of the other world, although the Kohen has to do it, and although we see in it Aaron HaKohen expressing not just his role as Kohen Gadol, but also as the Nossi of Shevet Levi, nonetheless, there is an aspect of a Levitical nature in the menorah, which enables it to function in the world beyond the Beis HaMikdash. Now, that in essence is a reworking of the Chazal that the Ramban quotes. It links the Hanukkah menorah to the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash, and has really, in my understanding, brought quite a very clever understanding and depth to the original question expressed in the Medrash that the Ramban is troubled with. He goes on to talk about a number of periphery issues. What I'd like to share with you in the last few minutes as a related theme is that, let's ask another question. question is that the menorah is to be lit by the Kohen. In fact, there's a particular promise here. Aaron is satisfied. He feels that his concerns have been addressed by being given the menorah. Yet, we celebrate Hanukkah by replicating the menorah, which anyone can light. So I've seen in another essay in the Shem Shmuel, and in the writings of other Polish rebbes of the same era, that one of the aspects of Hanukkah is the realization that this bechina of being a Kohen is really within the grasp of everyone. The original objective is to be Mamleches Kohanim v'Goy Kodosh. That means there is a Kohanic aspect to every Jew. And while in its official incarnation, the menorah can only be lit by a male Kohen in a very specific context, actually the capacity to express that spirituality, to be a vehicle or a receptacle for the divine Shefa, and to be capable of bringing something milamal or lamato from up there to down here, that is within all of our grasp. And I've seen it again written, that we are supposed to obviously read the story of the Pach Shemen. It's a real event, it's describing a real event, a historical record of the events at the time of the end of the war between the Hashmonaim and the Greeks. Yet, if one wants to conceptualize it, the idea that there is always a jar which rests with the seal of the Kohen Gadol, it's not so much that they fail to break the jar, it's that the jar can't be broken. It can't be broken. There is an aspect somewhere deep within us, sealed with the seal of the Kohen Gadol, meaning that we have this capacity to act as Kohenim. And this applies to every Jew. It can be a man, it can be a woman, it can be a Kohen, a non-Kohen, anyone can do this. The mitzvah of Hanukkah is incumbent on every adult Jew. One of the fascinating add-ons from that is not just that we can all be Kohenim, and we should find that quite an inspirational idea, somehow or other, that the spreading light of Hanukkah is a realization that we have within us tremendous unlocked spiritual potential that we should be able to tap into or access or acknowledge or work on, and this is a good time of the year to tap into that. Not just that, but in fact that each light is a light of individuality. I saw in the Chidusha Agadas of the Izbitsa, I mean, digging in the obscurities of 19th century Polish writing, that on the Hanukkah Sugya, in Bamei Madlikin, the Izbitsa talks about this idea. He questions the idea of the Kohen functions inside the Heichal, and this is a confluence of the most spiritual person in the most spiritual place. And yet, suddenly you take the menorah out, you put it in the window, and everyone's lighting a menorah. He asks this question himself. And he mentions this idea, as do other thinkers, of the ability for all of us to express some kind of aspect of Kohanic capacity. But he also says, the pasuk that's often quoted, "Kinei mitzvah v'seira or." What's the difference between a ner and an oir? See, oir is a general light. That's kind of following the crowd. The light that we experience as a community. A ner, he uses the phrases of the Gemara, ner lecho ish v'ish, ner ish uveisoi. Everyone has his own ner. He never says oir lecho ish v'ish, or oir lecho ner oir ish uveisoi, etc. It doesn't say anything like that. It's always the difference between oir and ner. Oir is the general light, ner is the specific light. And this is where I'm likely to get excited. He makes the following, he says, you know, the Gemara identifies the appropriate time to light your menorah. Shveshva chamov, for when the sun sets, and we can argue exactly what that means. Ashtichla regum in ashuk. So he says, the Hanukkah lamp should be for the thinker the transition between the general light and the specific light. meaning the sun is setting, and as the sun sets, meaning we've appreciated or internalized our responsibilities as members of Klal Yisrael, now we're capable of lighting our individual lights. The transition from oil to ner, and he says, "Atatich l'regem and ashuk," means it should be possible to banish herigel. It's a clever reading. So atatich l'regel, herigel means, and so once we're capable of pushing away rote behavior, acting with the herd rather than expressing our individuality, once we can push away that, then we're ready to light our menorah. The menorah is the expression of the translation of the general oil into the specific nair. That, of course, fits very well with the ideas we've said thus far, which are that it is possible for each of us to express some aspect of spiritual yearnings at Chanukah that are not necessarily evident the rest of the year. The fact that Chazal saw on the back of the Chanukah miracle the capacity for each of us to light our own nair, each of us as individuals, and each light is very different from every other. It might look the same, but they don't have to be the same. One can tie the ideas together and say that the Gemara says a Shonach Cheres, Chovim V'Osum. Many writers consider that why Shonach Cheres? Why couldn't they just decide to establish Chanukah immediately after the first Chanukah? So many write about it. The Sfas Emes is well known for saying that you have to see what's going on the next year. Do the hashfors, do the spiritual influences, the confluence of spiritual opportunities, do they repeat themselves? There are many victories of the Jewish past and many failures of the Jewish past that we've forgotten about. You know, they were written down and eventually consigned to the dustbin of history. Chazal are interested in determining whether this is really part of the fabric of time. So the Shon HaCheres, the following year, when they feel with their sensitivity that the same opportunities are present in the following year, then it's reasonable to fix a day. And of course, the menorah is really just a simon. It's just a simon. It's not a sibah. The menorah is a simon. It signifies the fact that it is possible to do this, that it is possible for each of us to be a Kohen in our own way. And if we want to take away something like that, I find very particularly meaningful this sense of transition from our responsibility, drawing on the Ur, the light that is setting, to be able to light each of us our own menorah, each being a Kohen in our own individual way, expressing the aspirations of Klal Yisrael, but with our own individual spin. The Chanukah.